The 19th chapter is a prophecy about Egypt. And if chapter 18 were Upper Egypt, then chapter 19 would be the remainder, or maybe even also including Upper Egypt. But it certainly would be Lower Egypt, that part that was fed by the Nile River. And we might be thinking about Egypt before next time, because this prophecy really delves into Egypt now. Egypt was a very old country. It's characterized by having this river run down through the midst of it, known as the Nile River, running from south to north and emptying into the Mediterranean Sea. And about 50 miles before this river gets to the Mediterranean Sea, it dissects into several branches or tributaries and deposits more of this silt, rich silt there. And this forms a shape on the map like the letter of the Greek D or delta. And so it's called the delta, about 50 miles before it gets to the Mediterranean Sea. And older Egypt was divided into 42 districts, and it was divided into an upper and a lower Egypt, and some also divided into an upper and a middle and a lower Egypt. And it was certainly one of the early seats of civilization. If you want to study archaeology, if you want to read some interesting archaeological accounts, just read about the discoveries in Egypt. The great pyramids, the great tombs, the great edifices, the carvings on their rocks, and on, just an endless thing that archaeologists have discovered in this area of Egypt. And it was then, as we said, one of the early seats of civilization. It was also an early nation to have kings and to have states. And it had several major dynasties, and some of these dynasties were going on all at the same time. But there was one time in which there were 12 kings. And finally, these kings were competing against each other, and there was one king then who was superior over the other 12 or the other 11, and his name was Psammeticus, P-S-A-M-M-E-T-I-C-U-S, and he reigned for 54 years. Now, he was the major ruling force in Egypt during his reign, and as we get into this chapter, we're going to see that it talks about this king that was a tyrant that ruled over them, and his little question as to which king it was, but he ruled for 54 years, and then Nebuchadnezzar captured Egypt and became the ruling force, and then Cambyses, who was the son of Cyrus of Persia, he took it over in 525 B.C., then Alexander the Great took it in 350 B.C., and then following Alexander the Great, and you know we studied a lot about this in our prophecies in Daniel, the Ptolemies reigned. And the Ptolemies had some kind of a unification of Syria, Assyria, Libya, and Palestine as they reigned in Egypt. Then the Roman government reigned there. It became a Roman province in 30 B.C. And then in 640 A.D., the Arabs conquered it. And then in 1517 A.D., the Turks took it over. And the commentator that I was reading after on this, Mr. Barnes, wrote his commentary in about 1830s or so, and so I really don't have information as to what's happened in modern times. But this is just a little background about the country of Egypt, and it'll serve us in good stead then as we delve into this 19th chapter next time. So we're going to close at that point and then begin there next time, Lord willing. Does anybody have any questions or any comments about our study tonight? Johnny?
There on the third and fourth verse down the last there, we're talking about what
you're talking about now chapter 17? Oh, yeah. Now, what I was talking about is that if a person makes an alliance or an agreement or some kind of a union with the world, and their purpose there is to do something that's bad, God's not just going to punish the worldly people and let the godly people go. He's going to punish all involved in it equally. I think that's the principle being taught there. Israel was punished just as surely as Syria was punished, because Israel's purpose was no better than Syria's purpose. And so he said, you're going to be, in the destruction of Syria, he said, you're going to be like the glory of the children of Israel.
Well, have you got an example other than that, like it would happen today?
Yeah, I think that if I were to join forces, let's say that I decided I was going to be a soldier of fortune, I really had some question maybe about whether or not I should engage in carnal warfare, but I wanted to be a soldier of fortune, so I went over and I joined up with the French Foreign Legion, and the French Foreign Legion entered into a battle somehow or other, and we're all wrong in doing what we're doing, that God wouldn't just punish the other Frenchmen there and let me off scot-free, because if I'm joined with them, I can expect to get the same kind of punishment they're going to get for doing the same kind of deed. I don't know, I think that would fit.
The admonition in the New Testament about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the same thing?
I think it certainly would. Right, I think it would be. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Right. And we have also Ephesians 5. It says, be ye not therefore partakers with them, but rather reprove them, speaking of the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Other principles, Hosea says there should be like prophet, like people, or like priest, like people. That is, if you do what the priest say, you're going to be like the priest, and the priest is going to be like the people. If they do what he says, you know, you can't separate them. One's as bad as the other. I don't think this would include our everyday activities with people who are ungodly people in things that God approves of. The carrying on of ordinary commerce or things that God approves of.
That very thing is taught in 2 John 11. For he that biddeth him God's feet is partaker of his evil deeds. So just to wish somebody well and something wrong is makes you equally guilty of
right.
Evil deeds.
Sure right. If you're not helping him do it, you sure are bidding him God's feet, you know. Or you wouldn't be helping him. And along that same line, if we support a preacher that's teaching a false doctrine, we're bidding him Godspeed. And although we don't believe that doctrine, and we don't practice that doctrine, and we might not even want that doctrine preached at our little place of worship, we are guilty. Because we're bidding him Godspeed by supporting.